Blog Talk Radio.
All right now. Let's go back down home and sing some of Mama old song.
Listen.
Down through the years, the Lord has been good to me.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day. Somebody ought to say, this is our day. This is the day. Oh, my. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we should be happy about it this morning. We got to come in here rejoicing and be glad. But this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, somebody. And glory to his name this morning. I heard someone said, I'm glad when it said unto me, come and let us go into the house of the Lord together. Amen. And he has given us one more day, one more time to come and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen, somebody. And I know about you, but I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving on me this morning. I want to thank everyone that has tuned in this morning by whatever means to this broadcast that is given every Sunday down here in the historic Turner Station, Maryland. We had a hard time in the Lord. We had a Masonic graduation yesterday, and things went well. Things went well, and I give him the glory that he so justly due. And as we have come this morning on a brand new Sunday, as the month of May is about to depart, I believe we have one more Sunday. And then we go into Memorial Day. And certainly we want to have a high time today as we come into the presence of the Lord. Scripture reading this morning is found again in the Epistle of Ephesians, the fourth chapter this morning. I believe I went to Ephesians last week, and I'm kind of staying in the book this week. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'll start my reading at verse number 1. I will allow you the time to allow you to allow yourself to do the walking through the pages of the Bible to get there. And for those who have pressed their way this morning, it's good to see you. And amen, it's good to see you again. And I'll give God praises for that. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. It's good to see your face in the place. We thank God for your presence this morning. Thank God for Ann and Sister Cole. We have Sister Robin out there. We have Brother Moody that has come in this morning. And it seems as though the Lord is in his favor. He didn't have to play drums last week in his absence. And he don't have to play drums this week because of the graduation yesterday. And so that means that you will have a double portion the next time that you enter this sanctuary. We'll have those drums and the drum shield set up so you can play to your heart's desire. And we're waiting to hear you rap on them drums one more time. Amen. 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 The word of the Lord reads to us this morning. It says, "And I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation with wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endowing to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as we call in one hope of your calling, for one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave good gifts unto them, or unto man. Now that he has ascended, what is it but he has also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descends is the same as that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." I have read it for your listening pleasure this morning, taken from the fourth chapter of the Epistle of Ephesians, verses 1 down through and including verse number 13. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. Let us prepare this time to go before the throne of grace this morning. Eternal God, our Father, we come, Lord, to Thanksgiving. Thanking you, Lord, for one more day, one more Sunday, one more time to praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, for this Bible that has been presented for us as an instruction. We thank you that we have eyes to see, a mouth to speak, ears to hear, and a mind to understand. We thank you for who you are, for what you have done in our lives. Even though sometimes we may see it as good, bad, or indifferent, but nevertheless, we realize that you're a God that never makes a mistake. We thank you for the realization of who you are. You have all power in your hands. We thank you for that. We thank you for family. We thank you for friends, and we thank you for fellowship. And we thank you for the understanding of heart. And we ask right now in the blessed name of Jesus to Christ that you would go by the hospitals this morning and carefully look in on our loved ones. Look in on the members of our church and also the members of the various churches here in the state of Maryland. Someone this morning is calling your name. They may not know why, but they're crying out and calling your name. We thank you this morning because we know that you are a God who will answer a call. We pray for those who are in the convalescent homes this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord, for those that are out in the streets without a home. Heavenly Father, we pray, O Lord, for those that are seeking shelter. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would hear our humble cry. We pray, O Lord, for city, the state, the counties that is surrounding the state of Maryland. We pray for the lost. We pray for the angry this morning. Pray for those that have malice of heart and are seeking to do vengeance on some life. Heavenly Father, pray for this church as well as many other churches. We pray for our people. We ask the Lord that you will keep them in your protection, Heavenly Father. And we pray, O Lord, as the service go forth this morning, for those that are here, for those that are tuned in, and for those that are on the way,
We pray that they will receive and understand of your word. Now have your way as we go forth in this service, Heavenly Father. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Our hearts and our souls say, amen and amen. Scripture that was chosen to read this morning is referring to a unified church, a unified church. And if you were to go to the first book of Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 12 through 20, I believe that there should be an indication of pretty much the same that was read for your listening pleasure this morning. And we find that Paul has orchestrated this, and he's letting the people know that God has chosen us to be Christ's representatives on this earth. In the light of this truth, Paul challenges us to live worthy of the name of a Christian, meaning Christ is one. And I want to just stop there for a moment. I'm going to come back to that. And Paul here is indicating that we are chosen. My brothers and my sisters. And he also indicates the fact that it is to be worthy. Some might say this, requiring a lot, but he's saying to be worthy of the fact that you have been chosen by God to be a representative of Christ. And I know that I have spoken many, many times on very different occasions pertaining to that fact, but he points out the fact this includes being humble, gentle, patient, understanding, and peaceful. And the graduation that took place here yesterday, I spoke to people about the emblem that they are wearing, the fact to become one, a part of an existing organization, that there is a certain way, certain manner, how you are to conduct and carry yourself. One of the things that the most important thing that I left with them on the graduation is the fact that someone is watching you. Now that was for them, but also it speaks for the Christian. Someone is watching you. The very first moment you get out of line of being Christ-like, the very next thing that one was says, I thought that they were Christian. Because of your attitude, because of your manner, because of how you conducted yourself. And yet we run across people on a daily basis, especially down at Lexington Market, where every now and then I'm down there and they get off. They cuss you out better than a sailor. And then they leave, and then lastly they say, look what you made me do. You caused me to lose my Christianity. You know, that's how we are. And Paul is indicating that in this fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, is that the church ought to be unified. You can have Sister Beatty over here doing her thing, and Sister Gina over here doing her thing. And you got the deacon trying to administer to everything that's going on about in his appearance, his eyesight. And when they come together, one begin to feudate at the other. Well, I step in my lane. This was my responsibility to do that. Well, the pastor told me to do this. You know, it's always what the pastor says. Amen, somebody. You know I'm speaking the truth this morning, but it's how we are and how we conduct ourselves and how we act in the church, in the presence of each other, and most of all, in the presence of God. Paul is saying that this is not the right frame, not the right manner the church ought to be in unity. He lets us know that there's one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. All working together for the same goal. He's saying that until the time that we all come together and operate as one body, serving and loving the Lord and showing that you are his representatives, there's always going to be some chaos that's going to take place in the church. He's saying that if the body has, and he points out the fact that like hands that you have on your body, and the eyes that you see, the mouth that you speak and that you eat with, ears that you hear, all of this is a together thing. And in order to keep that body to function, and it's the same as the church. Nevertheless, as to what auxiliary, what ministry, what fellowship that you're serving in the capacity of God for the glory of God, is all about being on one accord. He's indicating that to these people here in Ephesus,
that you got to be one body. You can't just jump out there and take it upon yourself to do this and to do that. It's not about you receiving some temporal glory, but it's about perfecting Christ himself. Saying that you need to get away, it lets us know that no one can do it all by his or herself. You need help, and it requires help. What happens if you have the most important documents and you have to go to the hospital? There should always be somebody as a vice that can pick up and carry the ball over the goal line. Don't take on more than you can handle, but share the responsibility. Let them know that you are welcome. And he talks even about the fivefold ministry, about the edification of Christ, and he lays it out, and he talks about some being apostles, some being evangelists, some being pastors, some being teachers. And he lets us know that it's all for the edification and the glory of God, to lift him up. And so many times now, it's just festering me, it's tearing at me that I have a service to preach next month. And Lord may just allow me to just take this as the drawing card as I prepare myself to speak before a large crowd. And in essence, this year, as my mind zooms in, it pertains to the fact of lifting up Jesus. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. And thank you, Holy Spirit. This is part of the meal, the preparation as to how things are to be done. And I spoke to the young man yesterday, and I reminded them of the fact. And I spoke the fact I even came from here because of the fact that they are one body, a pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the thing is that you have a gift that's different from this man's gift. And you've been united to use your gifts as one body, not stand out and stick your chest up and let everybody and talk about what I have accomplished or what I have done. And the sad part about it is that they seem to forget. They didn't do anything. It was God's plan. And every now and then you have to go back and remind them, as well as of the church. You have to remind
church. Don't let your head get too big. Your reward is temporal. If you're seeking to get a reward right now, but you should be looking for the higher reward that will come later. So in essence, Paul was reaching out and he was going over. He was giving them, in a sense of speaking, a new attitude as to how things ought to be ran in the church, that it should be a church of unity, a unified church serving the Lord together. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to stop at this point. I believe the pastor has some things that she wants to bring before you this morning, and then we shall play one song, and during the playing of the song, the tithes and offerings will be collected, and I shall come back for a few moments and finish up what the Lord has given me on this Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Pastor.
I give an honor to God this morning. Good morning. I just want to bring to your attention that we're having the building fund affair, which is, I believe it's Dan coming in. It's going to be down front. We're going to set tables up. And I have the invitation to give out. I'm only having 60 people. Once we give it out, 60 is the cutoff because we don't want it to be too crowded, too many people. It says, join us to the Blues at Caesarea CC Chapel Incorporated for our building fund July the 9th, 2022 from 4 to 7. And that's on a Saturday. 121 Oak Street, right here, Turner Station. The menu, I'll probably change it 200 times. The menu is chicken wings, and I'll be doing the chicken wings, meatballs, salad, string beans, dessert, punch, tea, and some hors d'oeuvres, and it's $25. There will be a photographer here. We're going to set up a photographer once and just chill out. It's a chill out time. You know, the next day is Sunday, and we're going to come to church. But we're going to introduce the blues band. We're going to have pictures taken. We're going to just mingle and eat together. And some people are doing some things, and you know who you are. But we're planning for 60 people, so that's what you're planning for. And what I'm going to do is I'm having the tables are being set up on the 9th, the day of, at 11 o'clock. I'm going to be here at 11. And I'm asking you, if you're coming, to come at least be here that Friday, because that Friday I'm going to come in and we're going to, Brother Earl, on Friday I'm going to have water. I'm going to get you to set up a cooler. It's going to be a cooler here, and you're going to be in charge of the water and the drinks and stuff. And I'm going to try to bring those things that we need, all except for the food, that Friday. And that Saturday at 11 is when the tables come, and I'll have some decorations for the tables. And I'm asking you to at least be here by 1. Because Lady Kathy will be here, and she is the caterer. She's going to be here. She's going to do, I think she's doing the meatballs. I'm doing the chicken wings and the salad. She's doing the meatballs, and she's doing something with string beans. And it's going to be some hot plates. It's going to be hot. The dessert, I think Lady Coles is bringing the dessert. Fruit is by Robin. And the punch and tea I'll get together. And the hors d'oeuvres, I think we're going to bring in hors d'oeuvres, and we'll pick that up off and on from probably Sam's or Eva or whatever. But anyway, these are the tickets, and they're here today, and we can at least take at least, if we can get 10 out a piece, that would be good, because I know I've already got 9 sold already sold. So, and I'm going to work on some others. But at least if we can just stick to a certain amount of people, just 60 people is the cutoff. Once it goes out, that's it. That's it. And I'll probably mention it again because I want to make sure that everybody's here on time and we can set up and get things together. And the bishop is going to be in charge of the music because he's going to have everybody set up the way they want to set up. But it should be nice. And it's a building fund, and we're just going to have a good time. Amen?
Yeah. Well, church, you've heard from your pastor and her directions. Let us govern ourselves accordingly. All right, song is coming up. Tithes and offerings will be collected, and we shall hear what the Lord has said for us to hear on this particular Sunday morning. Amen. And then we shall go down from this holy place. Hallelujah. Glory to Amen. All right. I think you've heard this before. And I apologize, but you're going to hear it again.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. We ought to come to Jesus right now. You heard what he did way back out there on Calvary. But it's up to us, each and every one of us, that has not accepted the invitation to come to him right now. God gave his best for his went up on that old rugged cross, place called Calvary, Golgotha's Hill, so that we would have a way to eternal life. Amen. Amen. And glory to God this morning. Tithes and the offerings have been collected. And at this time, we shall pray over the tithes and the offerings. Father, we thank you in the blessed name of Jesus the Christ for all that has taken place here this morning in the presence of your eyesight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who press their way down in this branch of Zion. And then we thank you for your obedience that they rendered unto you what was given to them to return. We thank you for the tithes and the offerings, and we thank you for those that gave, and we thank you for those that did not give for whatever reason. We ask, so Heavenly Father, that you look down on heaven, and you know the situation of us all. Yeah. We ask, Lord, that you open up the windows of heaven and pour unto them that stands in need of a blessing, that they too may run, leap, jump, and shout for joy, that they can return that portion unto you. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 And amen. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your giving this morning. Well, it's preaching time.
and I'm going to attempt to do what the Lord has given to me. And if you're still in Ephesians this morning, if you haven't closed your Bibles, you're not far from verse number 6, or chapter number 6, I'd say. This morning we start out our reading at chapter number 4, and now we're in chapter number 6 this morning. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. And I'm going to preach from chapter number 6 this morning. And I'm going to start, I'm going to read by just one verse. Verse number 1, and it says, finally, my brethren, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the few moments that are allowed mine this morning to come before your people. Pray, O Lord, that they will have a clear understanding of your word and receive something that may just jump out new to them, and they can take home with them and remember what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I want to leave a thought with you this morning, looking at, and it's drawn from this sixth chapter. I want to tag this as, there is a war going on. Tell somebody there is a war going on. And then I want to counter that by saying, don't get caught naked. There's a war going on, don't get caught naked. We find today that much talk here in the United States of America is about the war that is taking place in Ukraine, between Ukraine and Russia. And yet the Bible lets us know that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And yet here, even in America today, as I stand behind this sacred desk, there is a war going on. We have disagreements, whites and blacks and people of different nationalities here in America today. There is a surveillance, Secret Service and Homeland Security has looked at the fact about this road versus way, and if it's overturned, they're planning to to storm the United States of America, the Supreme Court. And they have fences up, barricades and porticades around the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. Because of what took place at the Capitol on June the 6th, 2021, because we had a president who felt as though it was an unfair race and he lost the race, and he instituted, we helped to conduct, to construct what took place in the Capitol. Truth be told, he even sold his vice out. He said that his vice did not have enough nerve to overturn the situation because of the fact that it was unfair, and he felt disrupt that there was no possible way that he should lose. And it started out as really a war against the government, because of the fact that it didn't turn in his favor. Even in West Virginia, before then, things that took place there, the flags that were being flown and the racism that was being shown, everything was leading up to the fact that there would be some type of chaos here in America. Let me find here, this is somewhat different this morning. Don't get caught naked. Don't get caught naked. And Paul this morning is reaching out to us, and he indicates that we need, as people of God, certain things that we need to do. We ought to be prepared. In other words, get ready, be ready, and stay ready about the fact that there is a spiritual war that's taking place. And he starts out and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he says, let us put on the whole armor of God. Put on so that you would be protected, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen, somebody. Spiritual wickedness in high places that took place on January 6, 2021. And it says to us, wherefore take upon you the whole armor of God. That means don't forget anything. Don't get caught naked. Put everything on that pertains to the whole armor of God. And he explains the fact as to although Christians may be at different levels, In early society, earthly society, excuse me, we are all equal because God, he does not play favorites. No one is more important than anyone else. Paul, letters to the Philippians church, stresses the same point. He tells them that the master and the Onesimus, his slave, were brothers because or before God. He talks about the principalities and the powers. And he lets us know that we are to put on the whole armor of God this morning, that you may be able to protect yourself against these principalities in high places. Wherefore, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil days. My brothers and my sisters, when we look at the times and the things that are going on, we see that we are now in the evil days. He lets us know that, and the truth and having on the, he tells us to have on the breastplate of righteousness. He also lets us know that we are to stand, therefore, having your lines girded about with the truth. He says, and your feet shodden with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. We have some wicked things going on in the world. And Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word itself of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he says to us as we pull on the old arm of God that we are to watch each other's back. If a brother or sister is not dressed right, if we have time trying to help them to make sure that they're dressed properly, that they may be able to withstand the clenches of all the fiery doubts and the wickedness of man, that we are guarding ourselves. And it says to put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, he says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bond. He says that I am kept in bondage because of this gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says because of the gospel and the miracle and the mystery of Christ, I am a bondsman. I'm glued to it like elephant's glue or gorilla's glue. I'm stuck to God. I'm stuck to Jesus. And I say to you this morning again, get ready, be ready, and stay ready, because there is a war that's coming. It's on its way. You may not see it, but it's here. It's just kept hidden. It's camouflaged. But be ready. Get ready and stay ready. Don't get caught naked. Make sure you have the whole armor of God, that you're girded of God as you stand, that every portion of your body is covered. That everything has been done that you may stand. Talks about principalities, the fallen angels, by Satan, who is the victorious fighter, the withstanding of their attacks. We must depend on God's strength and use every piece of his armor. Paul points out the fact that it is not only given this council, the church, the body of Christ, but to all individuals within the church. The whole body needs to be armed as you do battle against the rulers of the darkness of the world. Fight in the strength of the church. You can't fight if the church is weak, but there is strength in the church. Fight in the strength of the church, of whose powers comes from the Holy Spirit. If you ain't got no Holy Spirit power, then you need some Holy Spirit power in this place. Amen, somebody. And he says, these who are not flesh and blood are demons. He points out those who are not flesh and blood are demons over whom Satan has control. There are not merely fantasies that we are, they are very real. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church. We believe in Christ and join his church. These beings become our enemies, and they try every device to turn us away from Christ's coming back to sin. Amen, somebody. And that brings me to the point when it says they try everything to turn us against the fact that Christ is coming back. When I think about on June the 5th, which is Pentecost Sunday, and the fact that Christ had over 500 followers, and he had told them to go and to tarry in Jerusalem and to wait there for the power of the Holy Ghost. There were 500, 380 left. And when the Holy Ghost came into the presence of the upper room, there was only 120. 380 had left the blessing of the Holy Spirit. It shows the power of darkness. And when we look at the fact that even his disciples, after he died, went about their own business, not fully understanding, not fully believing. But Paul indicates the fact that there is a lot of wicked things that is going on in the world today. And we are to guard ourselves against those things that are going on. We are to prepare ourselves with the full armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and his saints. Everybody is not crazy in this world. Some have demons, and most of us don't want to admit that fact, that some people are possessed. Some people are possessed. Some have a demonic spirit. A great deal worship Satan. And we go about our business as usual. And it's sad, because we are to pray for one another. We see the young ladies getting as Satan did to Eve, getting beguiled in their mind. Just as she was tricked, a great deal of young men and women are being tricked today. Oh, it's all right. You really don't need a child. You can adopt a child. If it's good for you, it feels good, then go ahead with it. It's all right. God does not mind. He loves you anyway. And because of the fact that you use love in order to beguile some young people and some old people as well, they fall right into the trap. They are beguiled, and the fiery dots and the things that he pours out to them, and they began to accept it. And he always gets them. They always fall into this one trick. Oh, just try it one time. It'll be all right. And most of them tried at one time. And it's something different. And they're fascinated. And they go on with it. The world is going back to the day of Noah. And we don't seem to understand it. Business as usual. Everybody loving everybody. Body in one, whether it be male or female, whether it be animals, some even use animals. It's All Right is about a temple enjoyment. And they get that. And they get strung out, far out, and don't know how to get back. And if the truth be told, after they're out there, they really don't like the experience. And they're crying and reaching out to come back to God, even though that they have made a mistake in their life. And all they need to do is cry out and cry on the name of the Lord and confess that they want to be saved. But they tried, they didn't like it. They want a new head achieved in a new experience. And so many churches here in the world needs to preach about the sin, the corruption, and how the devil is using his imps and his people to seek control, to keep Jesus from returning again. And so many of us in the pulpit forget about the fact that he said, if I'll be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. But there's no lifting up the name of Jesus anymore. It's about a temporal thing, prosperity and what I can get in this world, what I can obtain, popularity, fame, fortune, whatever it takes. And if the truth be told, some of them will sell their souls out in order to accomplish it. So much is happening, and the news put it on time after time, very briefly, and we don't seem to pay attention about this movie star who has taken his or her life. Too much of that is happening. They get hooked up on cocaine and all of these other drugs that they bring into the system. And I'm going to say in New York City, California, and if the truth be told, throughout the world, per se. And they have these particular little parties, and like I said earlier, it's all right. Just try it. You'll like it. Yeah, take some of this. This will help you cope. You're in the right frame of mind. You don't need any coping medicine. All you need is the name of Jesus. But they get hooked on it. Hooked in it and want to know how they can get up. And yet it's too late because no one is lifting up the name of Jesus. And finally they decide, well, I'll take my life and I'll be rid of everything. So they take the life when they could have been saved. In spite of all that they've done, but there's still hope in Jesus. Yes. Someone would come to them and give them another shot, another new drug. Oh, this is going to take you higher. And then someone comes and gives them a hot shot. Not only this one is going to take you high, but it's going to take you completely out. You won't have to worry about anything else but your grave. Not even the fact as to where you're going, because you don't know where you're going, because you haven't prepared yourself a place. and sent up in a timber. Why? Because the name of Jesus has not been lifted up. And so Paul is saying that we as Christians, and because all of these things are coming against us in the near future, we ought to watch out. We ought to get ready. We ought to be ready. And we ought to have the full armor of God on us. Don't get caught naked. There's a war coming. There is a war coming. Father, I have done what you have asked me to do on this particular Sunday, coming from the book of Ephesians, first in scripture reading this morning, reading from the fourth chapter, and then for the sermon going two chapters over, speaking about the full armor of God. We pray, O Lord, that someone has received something from this message, that they may be able to continue to lift up the name of Jesus. And someone is crying out today, how can I be saved? Lift up the name of Jesus. Keep on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the fiery darts, against rulers in high place, against principalities. We thank you, O Lord, for your word. We thank you for reaching down to us. We thank you for making us aware of the darkness of this world, the wickedness, the spiritual things that are going on, and we're not able to even pay attention to. We just go about our business as usual. But we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Well, this concludes our services for this Sunday. But before I give the benediction, the door of the church is open. You can come by a letter from another church. You can come based on your Christian experience. And you can also come as a candidate seeking baptism. And if we are all saved in this church, then glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, and we thank you again for those that have tuned in this morning to this broadcast, and we pray that you have received something from it. It's time to say goodbye. As Roy Rogers and the Cowboys used to say, until we meet again, our church has come to a conclusion for this Sunday. And as I always say on Sunday, after Sunday, read the scriptures during the course of the week. Again, that was the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And I believe I read verses 1 down to verse number 13. And then allow your fingers to do the walking. You don't have to walk too far. Again, in the book of Ephesians to chapter number 6. And I started with verse number 10. You may just want to read verse number 10 down through and including verse number 22, and it's hard to, as we find it, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God. To guard yourself against the evildoers, people in the high places, and hurt or harm may not come upon you. And now, until next Sunday, remember this as you go through the course of the week, love is God, and God is love.
Said I pray, and I pray, until I found the Lord. I kept on praying, until I found the Lord. I pray, and I pray, until I found the Lord. Said I just couldn't sleep at night, until I found the Lord of my soul.
see, child. Let me tell this down. I was there at one point in time. I know how and I understand how it is in this time. Sister Robbins, you take him home, tuck him into bed, and make sure he gets some good breath so that he'll be full of energy next Sunday. Yeah, I can understand. I can totally understand. I know how it is. In fact, I started taking me a scratch day. But I can't do it. He won't let me take no scratch day.